The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
Yes, we are back. Power Hour with Alan, Doug, and Brady. Welcome back. Hey, guys, the FCC didn't kick us off. We're still here. Pretty good, huh?
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. We must have the good guy listening.
Wait a minute. Is the FCC actually constitutional, Doug?
No, funny that you should ask.
Wait a minute. It's not in Article 1, Section 8?
Or any amendment since. No, yeah. Federal government's got no business. Kind of ties into that freedom of speech, freedom of press thing.
You can make the argument that there is need for some of these federal agencies. And some of that makes sense. Yeah, the FCC may be a good idea. If so, pass a damn amendment. That's it.
I agree. I used to fly planes, and it would be very helpful to have And it is helpful to have the FAA, because you want one body controlling all the airspace, not different bodies controlling airspace over each state. To your point, Brady, pass an amendment. Stop ignoring the Constitution as if it doesn't exist, and at the same time, you people in D.C., what I call elected employees, swearing an oath to protect and defend, and if you're the president, preserve, protect, and defend. If you don't do it, you're not an oath taker, you're an oath breaker. All right, before we move on.
Someone might say, hey, Commerce Clause, General Welfare Clause, man.
I was just going to say that. I go, but Alan, it's for the general welfare. It's for the public health.
And don't forget cross the state line.
Yeah, well, that we can wrap that. We're not ready for that today, but we can wrap that whole basket of you-know-what just by talking about the bonus bill of 1817 and what James Madison said.
John.
Anyway, before we get on to our next big topic, Brady, you had some follow-on comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to wrap up on the national debt exceeding $35 trillion. In the preamble to the Constitution, it ends with, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and to establish the Constitution. Doug, what does posterity mean?
Future generations.
Succeeding generations collectively. We are saddling our future generations with debt that is probably never going to be able to be paid back. They are showing up in the voting booth. The debt can be solved. It is not a Ponzi scheme that's gone totally off the reservation, but it's going to require an awful lot of sacrifice and discipline and hard work. And the time to start that was about 20 years ago. So we are running out of time. It is inevitable that this Ponzi scheme implodes, but it can be fixed. Right now, the interest on the national debt is now exceeding military defense spending. And that's not going to get any better.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. Now to get to a topic that is very, very timely, I believe. And that is, yes, we're going to go back to the Constitution, and I'm getting out my little pocket Constitution. That way I can read it specifically, because it's here. And the topic is natural born citizen.
Do you want to know? As opposed to C-section.
Yes, thank you. That's not it at all. Thank you. If you want to know why this is such an important three words, it's because it's in the Constitution. It's in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5. Article 2 is about the executive branch. Section 1, Clause 5 is what is required to be, and I learned this from Doug, to be eligible for the office of president. And subsequently it became for vice president. I'm going to read the first part. The other parts are you have to be 35 years old, have to be 14 years a resident within the U.S. But here's the key part. No person except. Now, gentlemen, is that vague?
Not at all. Okay. As long as you identify as a person.
Okay. Well, do you have to be a person to be president?
You do.
We can't broadly interpret that? Okay. No person except a natural-born citizen. That's the first thing. Or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution. What this tells me is, at the time of the Constitution, there was no natural-born citizen capable of being president. That's why you had to be a citizen at the time of the adoption. Would you agree?
Yes.
Brady?
Well, no, because I was told that the 14th Amendment changed that.
We're going to get started with that in a minute.
There is sarcasm dripping off of my microphone.
Thank you. Yeah. Wipe that off. Okay. Which begs the question that at the time of the adoption of the Constitution, there was no natural-born citizen capable or eligible to be president because it's what the term means. Now, I will say you go back to a book called The Law of Nations, written by Emmerich de Vattel. And Vattel. He was a – what?
Vattel.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah, Vattel.
I so much like Vattel. Okay, Vattel. Emmerich. Emmerich wrote it, and it's called The Law of Nations. It was published in French. He was a Swiss diplomat in 1758, translated into English 2 years later. He was very well known, and Doug will tell you that in his research, at least three copies of The Law of Nations were at the Constitutional Convention, correct?
Correct. That is correct. Two in English and one in French.
Right.
Well, yes. They all knew how to speak French, and almost all of them knew how to read and write it, so.
The upshot is, it's not where you're born. It's who your parents are. And the idea behind this is that, remember, they just finished up a war with the monarchy. And during that time, there were monarchy supporters in the country, Tories. You don't want somebody who does not support the Constitution and the separateness of this new country as the top elected employee of the country. And one way to help ensure that is that their parents are citizens of the United States. And that would hopefully confirm the allegiance to the United States. How did I do, Doug?
I think you're pretty close. Yeah, you almost got all of the details down. There's not much for me to say left, much less Brady.
We'll get to the 14th Amendment.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that. I would like the audience to know is not only do I know the natural born citizen deal quite well, I actually am a part of a lawsuit that was originally filed on December 7th, 2020 against Kamala Harris, who's not eligible for vice president or president. And then we can mention other people who are not eligible. My best way of saying that is I do believe there's a village in Kenya somewhere that's missing. It's Village Idiot. But the idea of a natural born citizen, as you suggested, was all about protecting us against foreign entanglements and foreign influence. And in fact, I just wrote an article last night at DouglasVGibbs.com or PoliticalPistachio.com. Either way, to get to my blog, you can get there that way. About foreign influence, and that's a large part of what it was about. is we want a second, as Dennis on KMET with my radio show on Saturdays would say, a second generation American. Someone who was raised by someone who's an American. Now, the definition is, according to Vattel's Law of Nations, the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1790, and six cases of dicta at the United States Supreme Court, with the most recent one being the 1875 case of Minor versus Happersett, where Morrison Waite, the Chief Justice, in his opinion, also writes down exactly what I'm getting ready to say, is that in order to be a natural-born citizen, which is a step up from citizen, is both parents need to be citizens at the time of the birth. Not necessarily born citizens, but citizens. My wife is an immigrant. Prior to her giving the oath to become a citizen, we had our two children. So while they are citizens, they're not natural-born citizens, because only one parent was a citizen of the United States at the time of their birth. Now, should we have a child now, and I'm sure my wife is enthusiastic about that possibility, then that child, because she is now a citizen, would be a natural-born citizen. So it doesn't necessarily mean two born citizens, as long as they're naturalized. And we have a whole list of people who are not natural-born citizens. I'm not going to get into that. And now getting back to what you were talking about, it's this idea today is something called birthright citizenship. They say it's supported by the 14th Amendment and the 1898 case of Wong Kim Mark versus the United States. And it's not. And with the idea of birthright citizenship, what you're told is if you're born on American soil, you're automatically a citizen and you're automatically a natural-born citizen. Citizen and natural-born citizen, according to their broad interpretation, are one and the same. Well, if that's the case, then why in that clause does it separate the two? No person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of the Constitution. Because being a citizen and being a natural-born citizen were not one and the same. And based on the definition of needing two citizen parents at the time of your birth, well, gosh, the oldest natural-born citizen at that point was 11. Because remember, the United States became a country in 1776. Constitution was written in 1787. So we've got an issue there. Kamala, in her case, Kamala Harris, not only isn't a natural-born citizen, she's not even a citizen. Her parents were here as visitors, students. Even though she was born on American soil, they had no allegiance, no paperwork, no intent to immigrate at the time of her birth. She's an anchor baby. And if you read the congressional testimony provided by Senator Trumbull and Senator Howard in 1866 regarding the congressional discussions regarding the citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment back during that time period, they explain clearly that the purpose of the citizenship clause and that the provisions of the citizenship clause is that in order to be a citizen, you are to be born or naturalized and meaning second requirement, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Not just to the laws, not just that you're within the borders, but that you have allegiance to this country, some type of allegiance. If I was to, say, travel to Japan and my wife and I were there on vacation and had a kid, that kid is not automatically Japanese. Our allegiance is to America. The kid is too young to decide, so therefore our allegiance applies, and that kid would be American. Diplomats, same thing. You got a couple of French diplomats in America. They have a child in America. That kid is French. Military, same thing. There, if you're a visitor, you have no allegiance to that country. Your child, if born in that country, is going to be have the citizenship of your allegiance. And that's what that citizenship clause was originally intended. And that's what the 1898 Wong Kim Ark case, if you read the judicial opinions, solidifies and confirms.
Thank you for that, Doug. Brady?
The point I always like to make is when they were defining what the qualifications had to be president of the United States, they were setting a higher standard than not just for a citizen, but a higher standard than a representative. If you go to Article 1, Section 2, right at the beginning, it says, no person shall be a representative who is not 25 years old and been 7 years a citizen of the United States. Article 2, Section 3, they're talking about the Senate. No person shall be a senator unless they're 30 years old and 9 years a citizen of the United States. Each successive office, they had a higher standard. The president has to be 35 years old and 14 years a resident. But the one thing that's missing from the Senate and the House qualifications is the natural-born citizen. The founders realized that they were vesting the powers of the entire executive branch in a single person. He had to be loyal to the Constitution and the country. They were setting a higher standard. That has never been changed or modified in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you for that, Brady. The couple of things, as you brought up, the 14th Amendment is about becoming or being a citizen, different, not the same as being a natural-born citizen. Clearly different, yet people want to just say, look at the 14th Amendment, it's all the same. No, it's not. Where this term may have come from, or had a history with it, and this comes out of Britain and their common law, they had a term called natural-born subject. Well, Britain wanted anybody and everybody to be their subject, which meant if you were born in their country, you were a natural-born subject. Now, subject, and Doug and Brady can talk about this a little bit if they want. For me, subject and citizen are two completely different political statuses. If you're a subject, you are subject to the will of the crown. If you're a citizen, you're a citizen owner, and you are here to tell the elected employees what to do. Much different positioning. There is, I said I would mention this, there is a young guy, well, younger than me, he is running for Congress, 11th District in New Jersey, Joe Belnomi. He is proposing an amendment to the Constitution to actually properly define natural-born citizen. And a little self-promote for me, if you're interested, go to my website, fedded.us. You go to the top, it says more, click on more, scroll down to the flame, and my natural-born citizen article is number 8 in the list. This is the reason I wanted to bring this up today, and the reason I think this is absolutely, extremely important, and we haven't really touched on it too much, and that is there's somebody who is now is running for and possibly will become the Democrat Party nominee for president. We know who that is. And she is absolutely not, by the definition that was determined by David Tell. It's not Vitale, huh? Vitale. Anyway.
It's also not, Doug keeps saying Kamala Harris. It is Kamala. You have to pronounce it properly, otherwise you are misgendering her or something. I'm not sure exactly what you're doing, but
how about if I just say KH? Am I good?
Kamala Harris probably.
Anyway, KH.
Real quick, Alan, there was an interesting conversation that I had just over the last couple of days. So now that J.D. Vance is going to be the next vice president of the United States, there's a rumor that Vivek Ramaswamy is going to be named as the senator to replace him in Ohio. Now, Vivek was a presidential candidate, and Doug and Alan will tell you that he was also not eligible to be a candidate for president because he's also not a natural-born citizen. But what's interesting is if Vivek became a U.S. senator, he could not be the Senate majority leader because that would put him in the line of succession for presidency, and he is not eligible to be in the line of succession either. He's absolutely eligible to be a U.S. senator, but he could not be in the line of succession.
Well, actually, that there's a correction there. Not Senate majority leader, but a Senate pro tem, President pro tem of the Senate.
That's okay. Thank you.
And the thing is, too, is I want to bring up real quick, is people say, well, Doug, wait a second. You mentioned a lawsuit. What happened to that lawsuit?
Doug, what happened to the lawsuit?
I'm glad you asked. The district court in San Diego first took the case, and they argued political question. In other words, they argued that it is the Congress's authority to determine the eligibility, and by suing, we are placing the courts against the legislature, which violates separation of powers, which creates a political question. Therefore, we can't make this lawsuit.
If they're going to apply that logic, then the Supreme Court can't weigh in on anything.
Pretty much.
Follow that logic to the end.
Yeah, exactly. And my first response in my appeal to the Ninth Circuit was, well, enumeration doctrine. Does it say in the Constitution that the Congress has the authority to determine eligibility? No. If it is not listed as an authority in the Constitution to determine the eligibility, where does that determination lie? 10th Amendment. If something is not given to the federal government as a power, then it is reserved to the states, as long as it's not prohibited to the states, or to the people. Hello, here I am, we the people. So I have that. I have that authority. We have that authority as a people. So in response to that, in the Ninth Circuit, they argued then, the government argued on their side, not the judges, that the Congress did have the authority. It is in the Constitution. They have the authority to determine eligibility because they have the power to impeach. Yeah, I was confused too. What has impeachment got to do with eligibility? Nothing. But, you know, hey, when you can broadly interpret any way you want, hey, I guess it makes sense. So, and then they added another thing, lack of standing. Well, actually, there is no lack of standing because while as individuals we may not fully satisfy standing, one of the complainants in the case is the Constitution Association, a nonprofit 501c3, which has expended volunteer hours and monies in this case. So there is a tangible injury as in response to her unconstitutional action. So standing exists. So after the Ninth Circuit dismissed the case, we filed a writ of certiorari with the United States Supreme Court. I think it was about a year and a half ago. And they basically received the case, a writ of certiorari. What we did basically is we requested them to review whether or not they should review whether or not they should take the case. And we have not heard a thing since. We've sent two letters to the Supreme Court clerk to find out what the status is. We've gotten no response. And while one of the complainants has suggested that we should rattle their cage, I've always believed that it's probably not in your best interest to rattle the cage of the United States Supreme Court. Just saying. So that is the status of the case.
Thank you for that, Doug. Thanks for answering my question. I really appreciate
that. Yeah, you're very welcome. Hey, I'm glad you asked. I mean,
Alan.
Yeah.
Alan, can I give a selfless plug real quick?
Is there any other kind?
I don't know. It's the only one I know.
Well, it's going to be a good plug, though, because I'm involved. Go ahead.
Yeah, we just a few days ago, Doug and I did a 90-minute video on this topic, and we went into a lot more detail on some of this stuff. If you want to go to Rumble, go in their little search bar and type in Warhamster, all one word, Warhamster. The most recent video on that is a part of our ReFederalist series, Natural Born Citizen. Is Kamala Harris eligible for president? And I thought we did a pretty – we had more time, so we went into a lot of depth, chased a few rabbits, but definitely go check that out, and that way you can share this with your friends.
Well, she obviously is not eligible because both parents at the time of her birth were not citizens of the U.S. You don't claim natural born status based on location.
Well, this is the first time in history that two students from two different countries suddenly produced a citizen of the United States while visiting. It's almost as bad as how they treat biology.
It's an act of amazement. But here's the kicker: when someone is about to take the office, they're to swear or affirm an oath. and it is this. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. If you're not eligible, how can you swear an oath to preserve, protect, and defend?
Right. You've already violated the Constitution.
Absolutely. As far as you mentioned that, you know, the FCC, I mean, the there's no tangible injury. Well, when someone violates the Constitution at the highest level of office, how isn't everyone in the country injured?
Yeah, unfortunately, broad interpretation of standing by the courts say otherwise.
And what do we say about broad interpretation? Yeah, bite me. No, no more. All right, we're coming. We only have a couple more minutes before we go to the bottom of the break.
Bottom of the hour break.
Yeah, I said it correctly. I will.
English is your first language, right?
Huh? What? Slang is. Come on.
Slang.
Please consider that the Power Hour is 100% listen-supported platform. They need your support. You can support the Power Hour by ordering at thepowermall.com or making a donation. To do it by phone, here's the number. 877-817-9829. Again, 877-817-9829. Last thing before we go to break, because I can cut this one off pretty quick. I have an attitude about the Constitution. Doug?
Brady. You have an attitude.
I have an attitude.
I'm on bated breath. Go ahead.
I'm thinking it's a contract. And to me, contracts are to be read, understood, and followed. That if somehow, some way, I sign up on a contract, and then later on I decide to redefine a term, a phrase, a condition, is it really a contract? And isn't that what broad interpretations is doing? Well, number one, do you consider the Constitution a contract? Yes or no?
James Madison considered a social compact, which is another way of saying contract, because of the many parties, and the states are the parties to that contract. And if you want to – and contract law is very different than, say, criminal law. Criminal law can be broadly interpreted quite a bit, but when it comes to contract law, it's either in the contract or it's not.
Yeah.
And if you are – we need to figure out the language and what it meant. What you do is you go back to the original minutes or the original discussions regarding the contract. That's
hold
called
that,
the Constitutional
Doug,
Convention,
that
and Madison took notes.
Hold that thought. I want to. We're at the top of the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back after these important messages.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is back. Alan, Doug, Brady, happy to be back for the last portion of this time period on radio. Before we get back to our important topics, we have a caller. Dave in New York. Dave, welcome to the Power Hour.
Good afternoon. When I personally, when it comes to contracts, I believe that, you know, the Bible is your owner's manual, and I really go by that. I don't, because these people, they had space weapons like rods of God and stuff, which they have. You know, it's. Do you think they're going to hold the end of the deal and read your contract? I'm not being I am being a little sarcastic, but I'm trying to be honest at the same time, because they're not loyal or anything, and they're not going to. You know, when Bush had the Constitution in his hand, one time he ripped it up. You know, Senior Bush there. This is just a GD piece of paper. I don't know if you remember seeing that, but I do. You know, I'm in my early 70s. You know, I'm not pushing 80, but you know, I'm still getting you know, I've been around a while, and I soak things up, and I don't forget them for the most part. And I, you know, I don't think, you know, you could ever trust these people to worry about, you know, and I'm not trying to belittle what you're doing with your, you know, and you have terrific history, you know, paperwork and stuff on your side and all that, you know, that's good. The bottom line is, you know, it's, again, if you want to go back to the Olympics opening, what I thought you used to say that for the Super Bowl halftime, you know, now they're putting that stuff out, really sticking, you're trying to stick their finger in God's eye. And when you see a little girl, you know, and this thing dressed up in all different colors, you know, kind of exposing themselves in front of the little girls, 8 or 9 years old, and they probably want to ban, because they want to have those things where you can stop a kid from going through puberty, you know. And we've seen a lot of stuff with our former president, whoever's president now. And it's kind of funny because he said that J.D. Vance is a clone of Trump. And I'm thinking, who's a clone? You know, I heard, you know, all sorts of rumors. He died, you know, back in 1988. Well, I kind of doubt that, but you know what I mean? I'm not going to go run with a thing, but I really don't trust anybody above. I think if you look in your dictionary again and look up tyranny, it's when government rules. Okay. And I thank you very much.
Well, thank you for that, Dave. To your point, appreciate you calling in, is one of the things that I like, as I said earlier about the Second Amendment, that I like is that it speaks to duty. And one of the duties that we have not really been educated to as being what I like to call citizen owners, this is our country. We're the owners. We, the owners, are not telling our elected employees, federal, state, local, whatever, we're not telling them what to do. And we expect them to do it right. We, the people, are required to be very involved in how our government runs. And hopefully people are waking up to this and seeing they have to do more. One of the things that Doug Brady and I like to do is help educate more, to give people the understanding of what's going on, what needs to be done. So thank you, Dave.
Yeah, I'd like to touch on a couple of points Dave made. The first is, we were talking offline during the break about the Olympics opening ceremonies, and apparently the major tech companies are now suppressing their search algorithms, so you can't even find that anymore. The pushback against the debauchery that was on display has gotten so great that they're trying to pretend it didn't happen and send it down the memory hole. We're not going to let that happen because the internet is still free, and they openly mocked God, and that's never going to be okay. Second thing they've hinted at was the states are the parties to the contract, and only the parties to the contract can change it. That's what's called the amendment process. Sometime in the 1800s, I'm not going to go all the way down this rabbit hole, the federal government decided it was going to be the parent of the organization and ignore the states. They took away states' rights. We've got to give the states back their sovereignty. The states themselves have to start acting like they're the parties of the contract. And that's how you put the federal government back into its constitutionally limited place.
And, you know, one more thing to Dave is this. I agree that they are not listening. They are not following the Constitution, not going to. And that's why you replace them, or at least you work on them. People say, well, you can't do that because they're cheating. They're doing this. They're doing that. I get that. Just because you think that's a tough road doesn't mean you don't travel it. It still needs to be traveled. We still need to do everything we can to defend liberty, defend the Constitution, and get back to constitutional principles. And there are avenues that we're working on, and Brady kind of alluded to it. And one of the things that I'm working on, DouglasVGibbs.com, you can learn more about me and help what I do, help fund what I do. One of the things that I'm working on is I'm talking to legislators from certain states, Utah being one of them, to defy the 17th Amendment and the Reynolds v. Sims, which changed us in a big way from being a republic towards being a democracy, which is a large part of our problem. We start making moves on these mechanisms. We start getting them in place, getting back to being constitutional will be a less tricky road. Now, that said, and I tell people this all the time, my job as a constitutionalist is an impossible endeavor to get completely back constitution. It's like the Christian's endeavor to be like Jesus. It's an impossible endeavor. Jesus was perfect, but we do the best we can to be as close to Jesus as we can be. Same thing with the Constitution. I want to get us as close as we can to it as we can be. The battle is worth fighting. And we have certain mechanisms in our place if we will just utilize them. And that's part of the reason why I educate, because most of us don't even realize those mechanisms are there.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it. Before we go on to our last topic of the day, speaking of democracy, that is going to be the topic, a little purposely intended self-promotion. Brady?
Yeah, you can find me. My main channel is on Rumble. Just search for Warhamster, all one word. You can find me at Twitter at @war_hamster1776. And also on True Social at @war_hamster.
Thank you, Brady. Doug, we don't have that much time, but please go ahead.
I'm not reading my bio.
I have
been around in this game a very long time. I've been on Fox News 5 times. I've been on One American News a couple times, and so on and so forth. I've been in the game a while. DouglasVGibbs.com. DouglasVGibbs.com. That's DouglasLAS, one S for Douglas, V as in victory, GIBBS.com. Or for my blog, you can also go there directly at politicalpistachio.com. Politicalpistachio.com. I have 2 radio programs, AM radio on Saturday, and also today, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. I'm on Teaching the Constitution on a friend of mine's channel. You can find it 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern at MrConstitution.com, but put a hyphen between the Mr. and the C in Constitution. So MR-Constitution.com, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. And I'm actually beginning with a preamble today. So you're in the nick of time to start going through the Constitution line by line with me, Mr. Constitution. And don't forget, once again, DouglasVGibbs.com. You want to help fund what I do, become a patron, $9 a month, hit the join link in the link bar.
Very good. Thank you for that. What Doug didn't explain is that on Saturdays, 1 to 3 p.m. West Coast time, it's on, you can find it on the web, KMET 1490 AM, because I say AM because it stands for America. Check us out. It's Doug, myself, and of course, Dennis, the voice, Jackson. My self-promote is, I just did it with the radio, Sundays, 5 to 7 p.m. West Coast time. Patriot Soapbox, it's on the web. My show, which Doug and Brady are often on, For the Republic. You get an idea what the themes are. We're for the Republic. Also, website, FedEd, FEDED.US, for all kinds of things, including basic monetary system education. Check it out. With that, we got all that done. I think it's time to get to that. And, you know, I consider this a four-letter word, democracy, but I checked with the engineer and he said we could say it, so I did. I want to talk – wait a minute. Something's coming to mind. Do we know anybody who wrote a book about this?
Yeah, I did.
I know one guy.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, I actually wrote a book called Repeal Democracy. It came out about a year and a half ago. And it actually, the whole book, chapter by chapter, explains the difference between a republic and a democracy and why democracies are so dangerous. And I'm actually, it's funny too, is on my one of my radio shows on KPRZ, KPRZ.com this Saturday, that's my primary topic actually is democracy also. Mr. Constitution Hour, that's on all the podcast platforms. Just put Mr. Constitution Hour by Douglas V. Gibbs. You'll find it.
Thank you for that. All right, into this topic. This word, democracy, has been around a long time. Also, if you happen to go to fed.ed.us, go to the top, hit more, go down to articles. I do have an article about democracy. Check it out. It's been around, I don't know, couple of 2,200 years, even more.
No, the concept of democracy goes even further back than that, but go ahead.
The ancient Athenian lawgiver, and I cannot even pronounce his name, Cleisthenes, something like that, he coined it. But what I want to talk about is, what did our founders say about it? These were very well-educated people, extremely well-read. They didn't have TV. They didn't have internet. They didn't even have TikTok. They had books. I want to read a couple of quotes, and I'll read one, and we'll talk about it. Also, keep in mind, folks, when the politicos out there say they want to save the democracy, one of my first questions would be, which one? First of all, America is meant to be a republic. Doug, how many times will I find the word democracy in the Constitution?
Zero.
Declaration of Independence?
Zero. In fact, it's in none of the founding documents. All four is in none of them.
There you go. Which means we're not intended to be a democracy. We're intended to be a republic. Check the Pledge of Allegiance. Check the founding documents. But if someone says they want to save the democracy, based on my research, I found there's eight different types. So which one and where is it that you want to save? Because it isn't the United States. Let's see what the founders had to say. This one is from a letter from John Adams to John Taylor, April 1814. John Adams said, "Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There was never a democracy yet that did not commit suicide." Now, there's some things about John Adams' career I don't like, but is there anything vague here about what he's feeling about democracy?
Not at all.
Well, it's interesting that he's writing the letter to John Taylor. That's John Taylor of Caroline, I believe, who is absolutely worth the read if you want to learn what the Founding Fathers actually meant. This guy was one of the most, I would say, pure constitutionalists and understood exactly what it meant of the founding generation. And he's got some quotes that, well, we could do an entire show on John Taylor. He also wrote a book,
New Views of the Constitution of the United States, published in 1823, which is definitely worth the read.
Yeah, he's on my Mount Rushmore of the founding fathers.
Did he sign the Declaration?
I think he signed two of the three founding documents, didn't he, Doug?
Okay.
I think it was two of the three.
All right. Next one. John Marshall. I am definitely not a fan of his. All you have to do is see the case Marbury versus Madison to know why. But I do like this quote from him. Between a balanced republic, notice what he said, balanced republic, and a democracy, the difference is like that between order and chaos. Which one do you think he's favoring, balanced republic or democracy?
I'm going to go with the republic.
Okay. Deggie?
Well, balanced republic, and notice the word balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a republic. Anybody call themselves a republic. Hell, we have the Republic of China, right? But you know, they're not what the American Republic is. Right. People's Republic of California. No, never mind. But our republic is a very distinct type of republic. And when people get nervous about the word democracy, that's not to say we don't have principles procedures of democracy involved in our system. And the House of Representatives has always been democratically voted in. Voice of the people is an important thing through democracy, but like anything, if you put all the power into one place, you run a danger. Too much power to the president's hands or Congress's hands or judge's hands, that's dangerous. Well, too much power in people's hands is also dangerous. So pure democracy where the people are voting for everything is dangerous. So we're not a democracy, we're a republic. But there are some democratic principles and procedures that are involved in our system, but we're not all democracy. And do not call it a democratic republic. It is a republic, but we do have some democratic procedures.
I would take it further than that. We are a very distinct form of republic. We are a federal republic.
Mm-hmm.
That's different than a national republic. France is a national republic. We are not. We are a bunch of different sovereign states that have formed a union for their common defense and a few other enumerated reasons. There's also a distinction between democracy, which is a form of government, and democratic processes, which is that democratic being an adjective. That it's not to be, and the Democrat Party has nothing to do with either. But everyone confounds and combines all those words and think it means the same thing. We are fighting wars all over the world to, quote unquote, protect democracy. And it's absolute garbage. It's hogwash.
I'm done protecting democracy. Keep it as speaking of republics. There was a former republic. You might remember this. USSR. Union right. of Soviet Socialist Republics. I don't think I want to be part of a socialist republic. I'm going to go with balanced. Glad I brought that one up. Next, Thomas Paine. He gets right to it. A democracy is the vilest form of government there is. Government is best which governs least. Vilest form of government? He's putting that even above monarchies. Apparently, he really was not a favor of democracy. And what do you think, Doug? Do you think Thomas Paine would be in the market to save a democracy?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, see, when you have a monarchy, if you have a good king, well, then, you know, it's a good government. When you have a bad king, it's not. But democracy always, always in history has always eventually become an oligarchy. In other words, the people are, once the people realize they can vote themselves gifts and the politicians are base their campaigns on given gifts, well, then that's when the tyrants then start positioning themselves through the money and then ultimately become the tyrants that control it. Democracies always become oligarchies.
Brady.
Agreed.
All right. Now, are you familiar with Thomas Jefferson? You guys, you've heard his name?
Just a bit.
Yeah, okay. A democracy is nothing more than mob rule, where 51% of the people may take away the rights of the other 49%.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite points when having this debate with people, is that a republic is designed to protect minorities, whereas a democracy does not. And we can hammer that point home, because, you know, the Democrats claim to be the party of the minorities, but it's just, you know, they do just the opposite.
Well, they are the party of the minority. It's called the elite.
Well, democracy basically allows the population centers or the cities to control everything. And when Madison wrote the Federalist 10, he argued that when you have different factions, you need to give the minority factions allowed enough voice to battle against that majority faction. And so what our republic does is it makes sure that the rural voice is a stronger voice. That's what the Electoral College does. if it wasn't for the Electoral College, the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary wouldn't matter.
All right, I think we're going to have time for one more. And that is because we're closing in on 55 after. I'm going to choose this one. Excuse me. James Madison. Democracies have been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and in general, been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. What do you think?
I think that's probably the best quote of all, and that's exactly what happens. They die violently and become tyrannies every time. James Madison, being the father of the Constitution, he kind of had some ideas about that. A real quick note, just real quick, John Taylor of Caroline, you asked about if he signed anything. No, he was friends with a lot of the founding fathers, and as a young man, even served in the Revolutionary War at the tail end of it. But you got to realize, the guy was born in 1753. He was only 13 when the Declaration of Independence was written.
Well, thank you. Brady, a couple of quick questions.
Well, you didn't share my favorite quote about democracy, and I learned this. I first heard this from a gentleman by the name of Douglas V. Gibbs, and he says, democracy are two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. In a republic, it's a well-armed sheep.
Contesting the vote. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank gentlemen for being here. I told you that I would say something fun today. Well, I've got an acronym for us. We are the Bad Boys of Radio. Brady, Alan, Doug, you've been listening to the Bad Boys of Radio here on the Power Hour. We've had a great time being here. And until next time, may you all be and stay safe and well.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sarah enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.